Welcome back to In Depth Podcast, Season 3, Episode 5, featuring poet, artist, and the newest member of Happy Boys Records, Bonita. Enjoy the show.
Peace, NDEF Podcast, Season 3, Episode 5. Welcome back, everybody. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a fire episode. I don't normally give people introductions, but I have to. I'm going to let you introduce yourself, but I have to give, like, a small introduction. I have to. So this is like one of the dopest people on the planet. Such a genuine soul, such a beautiful person inside and out. Without me stretching this out for 10 more minutes, I'll allow you to introduce yourself.
You're gassing me up, man. No, listen, thank you. Thank you so much for that beautiful intro. You know, I definitely reciprocate those feelings right back to you. So, I'm so honored to be here. So thank you so much for that. My name is Bonita, otherwise known as Natalie. I respond to either or. I am an artist and I also just like to speak my mind and talk in general. So I would say I'm a communicator too, I guess, if that's like something a person can label themselves with. But I do find myself doing a lot of talking, even if I'm not doing much of anything else at all. So I'll go ahead and assign it to myself.
No doubt. Welcome to the podcast. I'm excited for this episode and we're in the episode doing it. I haven't asked one question yet and I'm already excited.
Same.
All right. So first question, because you have such like a wide music taste, I'm interested to hear your answer to this question. So, dream studio session, you get to pick one producer and three artists to be in the studio with you. Who are you picking?
So if you were anybody else, I would refuse to answer that question, but I'm gonna give you an answer.
Okay.
I would say probably Elton John.
Ooh.
There's a Hispanic artist called Ira Pelusa that I'm a huge fan of. So her. Natalia Lafourcade, which is another Hispanic artist I really love. And for a producer, oof. That's a tough one. There's so many great actually, you know what? I got it. His name is Brenky. He's a lo-fi beats maker that I adore. I am constantly inspired by his project. So Brenky's the producer, and then the three in the studio are Natalia Lafourcade, Ira Pelusa, and Elton John for sure.
Dope. All right, so next question. What is one truth that you believe the world can agree on?
A universal truth, the ones that we seek so much but are so hard to find, right?
Yeah.
I think that a universal truth that we can all agree on is that I think at the end of the day, what people want more than anything is to be able to be 100% themselves without having to feel, I guess, guilty about it.
Right.
And I'm sure there's people listening who are going to be like, oh, I don't give an F what other people think, whatever. But that attitude alone, if you really don't care, like, you're gonna be stoic, you know what I mean? You're not gonna be triggered. And I know that's caused by a bunch of stuff, but so I do think at the end of the day, more than anything, whether it, and where that can happen for everyone evolves, I think there's the people who don't need an external component to that. So they'll go be off grid and go be themselves in the wild, really, you know what I mean? But, like, truly alone. There's other people like myself, and I believe like yourself as well, that kind of, it's not that we're looking, but that we have that soul family that we, that comes to us, and we create these permanent connections with that allow us to be 100% ourselves.
Right.
So, you know, I think that would be one.
Cool. All right. So I think this next question is kind of like an expansion of the last question in a way. But a better world is the absence of what in addition to the presence of what?
Run that by me one more time. I just want to make sure I'm understanding it correctly.
No doubt. So a better world is the absence of what in addition to the presence of what?
A better world exists in the absence of, toxic ego and in the presence of genuine love.
I agree. Okay. I think I'm going to add a question as well to the end. So if you could keep 5 possessions for the rest of your life, what would they be and why?
My rings is, I'm going to count as one, even though there's 4 total, but my rings, any type of device that I can actively listen to music on.
Right.
I don't even care if it's a gramophone. It has to something. Right. But probably like a Kindle or something. So I always have access to literature, but I can pick different kinds of literature. I don't have to just stick to the same one piece.
Right.
Can I count pencil and paper as one?
Yeah.
And then I'll give you a 5th one. These are material possessions, right? That we're naming?
Anything, honestly.
Okay, because I was about to say, really the only thing I can think of is like, just like the love that I carry within me, because I feel like the love that I carry within me is what really propels me through my life and helps me make my decisions and helps me I'm very motivated by the love I carry in my body, whether it be for myself or for someone else, for sure.
Right. No doubt. Okay. So what is the single best piece of advice that you've ever received?
I can't say that I can pick a single one that tops all the rest, but I can tell you one of a few that have really stayed with me that I find comes up for me no matter how much I evolve, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that it doesn't really matter what others see in you. It's about what you see in yourself. Because like, for example, like for me, I've always been a very beloved person. I've always been blessed that way. Like people always appear very attracted to me, get along with me, whatever. I'm not going to say I don't have people who I don't make feel some type of way, I don't trigger, but for the most part, it's always been very easy for me to interact with others and, make, meaningful connections with them. Right. Whether they're lasting or not is another story, but meaningful nonetheless. I can't think of a single connection in my life that did it. I didn't learn something profound about myself and the world around me that I didn't, you know, like it was always deep, even when it looked stupid or shitty or not as deep from the outside, you know.
Right.
It was deep to me. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I always throughout my life was told from a very young age how remarkable I was in so many different ways, be it more something a little more aesthetic, like my appearance, or something a little more profound, like my intelligence, the way I communicate, etc. And honestly, in the 27 years, now going on 28 years that I've been alive, I only really grew to see and appreciate those things recently.
Yeah.
So it's like you can be a whole, and I do believe we all are treasure troves, you know, but if you can't unlock that, it doesn't matter how many people tell you, you know what I mean? Like,
all right. Definitely agreed. So before I get to these last two questions, I want to add a bonus question. So if you could go back in time and witness any major event, what would it be?
Wow, that's hard. I have two answers for that, if it's cool, and they're both kind of broad. But I would have loved to have been alive during been in the United States during the JFK presidency, as specific as that may sound.
Right.
And I would have liked to, and my second part to that answer is all tied to different concerts, man. There's so many artists that have come and gone or that are just before I was born and stuff that it just either they don't perform anymore or they have passed, you know, or even artists from my time, like, you know, RIP to Amy Winehouse and Mac Miller, just off the top of my head, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's not even scratching the surface. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's so many, like shows that I wish I could go back and like have borne witness to. Cause let me tell you, like there's something you can love an artist as much as you want, but seeing them live is different.
Definitely. I remember I saw Griselda, I think it was 2019. I saw Griselda. Oh my goodness. You want to talk about an experience? I was right in the front row. Like if you look up Griselda at where was that? Howard Theater. If you look up Griselda and Howard Theater, you will see me in the front row with a can, like a not a can. I had an umbrella because it was supposed to rain that day. And I'm just like sitting there, like bobbing my head, like I'm in
That's
the front row.
So iconic.
It was crazy. Like I was like coughing a lot because they were smoking a lot in there. I was like coughing my ass off, but it was a good experience. So it was dope as hell. So that brings me to my next question. Where do you think poetry is headed in the future?
That's very interesting because I'll be honest with you, as long as poetry has been a part of my life, which you and I have already talked about this, I've been writing poetry since I was in middle school, and I definitely had an affinity for it as a child in some of the books that I chose to read and stuff.
Right.
But I'm going to be real with you, that never crosses my mind. I never think about, and perhaps that's a blind spot for me. Maybe I should look into the history of poetry and the more technical stuff about it, but I never, ever think about that, honestly. I find a piece, be it in a book, online now, because, you know, the internet connects you to so many, like, artists in general now.
Right.
You can find whatever. You can find so many people that can do whatever you want, singing, dancing, poetry, you know. So regardless of how it's exposed to me or introduced to me, if I'm drawn to it, I'm there. And I don't ever give, a second thought to, where it's headed, where it's going, or what it was, you know, like that's just something, honestly, that's something I've never really considered? That's a good question.
No doubt, no doubt. Like, and what made me come up with that question is, like, you have a lot of the new rappers who, in my opinion, are more poetry based, like Navy Blue, for example. It doesn't feel like rap to me. Anytime I hear any, I've heard him do a freestyle and I'm like, this doesn't sound like rap to me. It feels very, very poetic. You know, Mavi, Earl Sweatshirt to an extent, you know, it doesn't feel like traditional rap music. It has a very poetic essence to it.
I agree with that. And I think rap is finally going through a much needed renaissance.
Right.
It's funny because I'm pretty sure I told you this recently, and I had this discussion at one of my homegirls' houses with like a couple of our friends there the other day too. Like, I left the rap subreddit because I couldn't stand like just seeing the same people being spoken about, the same attitudes. Right. Like, so I think a lot, and I'm not saying that, because rap has always evolved, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that has always changed over time. Like, there's a very clear distinction between, say, 90s rap to early 2000s rap was, to the later 2010s and whatever, and what it is now in 2020 forward.
Right.
And I think rap is going through a much needed renaissance. I actually think all art forms are going through that. And I do think that, despite it being a renaissance, there's also a, because even though it's fresh and it's new, I also think there's like a return to something simpler. You know what I mean? I think a lot of pop culture in general, which obviously rap has always been a part of it, I'm not going to argue with anyone about that. It has been. I don't care what anyone says.
Right.
I think rap has always been a part of pop culture in some way, shape, or form. And I think pop was so commercial, especially in the West. You know what I mean? That it's, you know, it's not that there wasn't profound rappers. It's just who was being given more prominence in our faces from a social perspective, a socioeconomic perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think now we're starting to see like a great unraveling of that structure. I think now with the avenues of being able to be an independent artist and not have to go to a label, not having to turn yourself into something marketable, someone who does a really good job of that but is still relevant, in my opinion, is No Name.
She's
hit commercial success, but she's super, like, you know, authentic to herself, genuine, doesn't ever try to sell anything. Like, she's very she's not afraid to have those conversations that I think people were more afraid of having before, about, you know, where rap went and how we as a society allowed it to become a little more shallow. And listen, man, I'm not going to tell you, like, there's commercial rap that I've loved, but it is refreshing and nice to finally see like a more, you know, like you said, poetic, more artistic angle to it, you know, because you can only listen about the booties and the hoes and the and the bodies, you know what I'm saying? Right, like, you can only hear about that so much before you're like, I need something new, man.
Right. And I think, I don't want to say there's more substance now, because I listened to Rock the Bells radio on Sirius XM. And there's a definite difference between, you know, rap from the 80s and 90s, like you said, and now. But I don't know, like, it could be a generational thing, but there's a lot. I feel like there's a lot more. That's a tricky, I don't know.
Would you say awareness, I think, is what you're looking for?
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, these people know who they are and they're not afraid to say, hey, I'm depressed, or hey, I have anxiety, hey, I have a mental illness. Like, they're not afraid to say any of these things, and they do it in such a way that is not only positive, but it's intriguing. You know what I mean? And I don't think that was such a thing back then. And if it was, it wasn't as advanced as it is now.
Yeah, you would probably get ostracized back then for something like that. Okay. And this is what, so it's funny, right? Because some people, like OGs or old heads, will argue, and I'm being very general when I say that, mad respect to the people who have seen the rap game evolve, not hating on you. I'm speaking in general terms, right? But I noticed that there's like, you know, a lot of people back then, it was more about like, they're like, oh, rap was more real back then because they were talking about the issues and the and society and this and that. Mm-hmm. And yes, yes, for sure. But also like, I think what people are, what's missing in terms of understanding between generations past and generations now, mm-hmm. is that people don't understand that, yes, there are societal issues, but societies are comprised of an individual.
Right.
So if you're not putting yourself first in the, not in like a selfish sense or in an egotistical sense, but in mm-hmm. the sense of like, what can I do not only to become a better version for me, but also to the world that I'm going to impact whether I like it or not.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? The fact that you leave your house on any given day, that anyone at all has to interact with you at all, you mm-hmm. are already making an impact to the world around you. Right. As like as much that may sound like, wow, that's like maybe I'm overblowing something so simple, but it's the, I feel that that's the truth. You know what I
right.
mean? Like,
I agree.
That's what you're doing, you know? So I just feel like now that we're finally getting the individual part down, we can finally, and we don't, get me wrong, we still have a long way to go, but this is a good step in the right direction to be able to come back and tackle those societal issues that were caused by multiple individuals becoming infected and corrupted. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Because to me, that's like, when I look at the mental health crisis, when I, like even just today, I saw this post on Instagram about a guy who unfortunately shot his brother 9 times after they were bickering back and forth about a basketball game that he lost. It was a younger brother that shot his older brother and killed him in the kitchen.
The 19-year-old, like, right?
Yeah, yeah, young cat like that. And it broke my heart because I'm like, I'm not excusing his behavior at all. Obviously, like, that's super OD. But I do see that when I hear stories like that or all these school shootings and all this crazy shit, I see that as a mental health crisis.
Right.
I see that as these are people who are they have been neglected, and therefore they have neglected themselves so much in some way, shape or form, right, that this is the result. I recently went through something similar with someone that I used to date. I had to cut, you know, I had to let him go because his mental health issues were just exceeded where I felt safe right. and where I could help him. But it was, I wasn't even mad at this guy, because I understood. Right. I'm like, you know, he just needs help, man. And I'm really happy right. that a lot of people are being more honest about that, because it gives hope and information to people who have just accepted that. I've been that person, man. I used to be really mentally ill, like, and it got away from me. Like, I've been hospitalized twice. Like, if you don't mind me admitting that on the podcast, like, once was voluntary and the second wasn't, but that's what happens, dude. Like, when you just don't put yourself first, when you don't take care of yourself, when you don't attend to your mental, your spiritual, your emotional needs, it distorts you from the inside and it comes out.
Definitely agreed. Definitely agreed. And that's, I have no problem with you admitting hospitalization. Like, I've been hospitalized. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, given that I have schizoaffective, like, I've been in and out the hospital for years. Like, this is probably so far the first year I haven't been hospitalized, you know?
Wow.
So it's been up and down, you know, you know, like the sugar intolerance. For anyone who doesn't know what that is, that basically means for me that I can't have a certain gram of sugar, like over 5 grams. I can't go over 5 grams of sugar in anything. And it's like, if I do, then that's when the intolerance kicks in. Like,
right.
I start, you know, I'll eat it and then I'll start crashing. And I've been hospitalized. it's so hard to talk with these aligners, and oh my goodness.
It is.
Yeah, but I've been hospitalized for that. Am I saying this right? I don't think I'm saying it right.
You are saying it right.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm going to just change what I'm saying. I've been in the hospital for that. So it's like, for for artists now to admit that kind of thing in the music and say, hey, you know, I'm going through this. For me personally, that was my okay to be like, hey, I can talk about this too. And then that's where I think the impact really came in this generation with the music, because even, you know, Generation Z, they're not afraid to talk about anything, it seems, you know, like things that our generation was like, yo, don't talk about that.
Right. And they're all for it. I really, every generation has its pros and cons, right? But that is something I definitely love about Gen Z. I feel that they have removed so much unnecessary stigma and just bullshit on it, like bullshit social constructs, you know what I mean? Like things that just got in the way, made things harder, made things more complicated than they needed to be. I love that in a way they've simplified the world around us a lot when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. And I like that they make things not that big of a deal for in those aspects, at least. In other aspects, you know, whatever. But in those particular aspects, I'm just like, I give them so much kudos for that, because I love the direction that society is taking, even though the world around us may not reflect that trajectory so much. And I think part of the chaos we're seeing is because of that massive social change that's like, you know, brewing every day, you know what I mean? And happening little by little like that.
Definitely agreed. So before I ask the very last question, so typically with the podcast, I play a song at the end. So we do have some recent songs that we've done from The Awakening. I'll let you choose which song of those two that you want played at the end.
Continuum for sure.
Cool. So we will be playing Continuum at the end. And with that, we have reached the end of the podcast. Go ahead and plug yourself in. Anyone you want to shout out, anything you have coming up, let the people know.
So if you want to follow me on Instagram and chat with me or whatever, because I like to talk, my Instagram is The Real Bonita Pumpkin Bum. I know it's a little goofy, but whatever. It's a joke that's been evolving since I created the account. If you guys want to talk to me or just follow me or whatever, show some love. I definitely, if you're an artist, I love to show love, share on my story, any projects you may be doing that I may be into. So don't be shy. I'm more than happy to shout you out on my story. I love showing love. You definitely know that. I do that for you all the time. Definitely, I'm just like, that's definitely great. I love that. So, you know, and as for what I have coming up, I've actually been revisiting my songs lately, and I think I'm finally in a situation where, like, I might be able to actually finally record them. Not very interested in performing in the scene that I'm in right now because of the social constructs that happen, but I might change my mind on that in the future. But for now, I might be dropping a couple songs at least before the end of the year. And I definitely am going to start dropping like more poetic, focus more on my spoken word and poetic projects that I've pretty much neglected since I started getting into music. But yeah.
Dope. Thank you so much for joining the podcast again. I really, really appreciate it, for real.
It's such an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
No doubt. In-Depth Podcast, Season 3, Episode 5. Y'all take it easy. Peace.
This is Morgan Freeman. The storm will pass at God's speed. Yeah. Be patient.
Let's boogie. Yo. Life hit me faster than most. Acting composed. Rallying was close. Makes me want to go cast for the ghost. In the crib, composing plans for show. I was the chosen man. Meditation, the coldest hands. Knew I'd be chosen again. And a photo says where energy lies. Recently could see the pain in my eyes that I had tried to disguise. Storm is in the mist. The last couple I missed. All my ops are in bliss. My happiness on the top of their list. The given distance, for instance, had me healing. Thought I was always happy. Asked me how I am dealing. the awakening. The old me is peeling and bleeding. The new me is peaking, reaching the ceiling. What a feeling. Let the rain pass, fog the stained glass. The light of the tunnel, I taste that.
It's a feeling I ain't felt since way back.
My inner child is free and climbing. This verse was very therapeutic. Now go ask exactly how I am. I'm just trying.
In this corner, the champion from South Florida. Introducing Bonita. Let's get ready to rumble.
It's funny because I noticed that as humans, we're constantly trying to define everything and everyone in an attempt to protect ourselves. And there is some value to not just giving, to having boundaries and not just giving all of you to everyone, but face value is all we have. I have to trust that what you're presenting to me is what it is, because I don't live inside your head. And if you end up being manipulative, if you end up being a psycho, if you end up being whatever, then that's what it is. I have had what I interpreted to be profound, meaningful connections and relationships with people who later on ended up not even really knowing who I was or understanding who I was. And obviously those connections fell apart later on. And I used to feel bad about that, or feel betrayed, or feel like I was getting the wool pulled over my eyes, or felt lied to. But then I realized it's not that. It's rarely ever that personal. There are evil people in this world, but more than that, everyone is different. Everyone has reasons why they come to you and want to connect with you, and you don't know what that is. You just have to believe in what they tell you, and you have to decide with your own discernment if you're gonna proceed with this person in whatever direction you decide to go in. If someone is gonna hurt you, whether they want to or not, there is nothing we can really do to stop that. We can minimize risk to an extent, but for the most part, it's a wild card. That is the risk and the price we pay when we decide to interact with other humans. And there's no ideal situation or setting, you know?
Happy Boys Records.
We hope you've enjoyed episode 5 of season 3 of In Depth Podcast featuring Bonita. Tune in next Sunday for episode 6. In Depth Podcast.